Today's episode is being sponsored by Kingsley 1945 Watches. To check out the Kingsley 1945 collection, go to www.amitdevhonda.com and click on the Kingsley 1945 collection on the upper right-hand corner.
Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I talk about my experience of working with legendary frontman Tim Armstrong of the punk rock band Rancid. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dev Honda, and welcome to my podcast. So I want to get into today about my experience of working with legendary punk rock frontman Tim Armstrong of the band Rancid. I've always been huge into punk rock. It's my thing. You could say punk rock music was like a friend to me when I was a kid. It was my way of, dealing with being from, you know, being a minority, not having a lot of friends growing up, being judged. I didn't look, I looked different than anyone else. You know, I felt like I didn't belong. So for me, punk rock was like that friend that I could always just, you know, pull out a punk rock record and listen to The Clash or the Sex Pistols or Rancid. And, you know, throughout college, I'd say high school, I got into Rancid, like, On their first real record. I mean, their first record was good, their self-entitled record, but their first record for me that really like kind of that really got things moving and shaking was Let's Go. And you know, that record was like 22 or 23 songs. I don't remember exactly how many, but I had the shirts, I had the posters, I was obsessed with Tim Armstrong, the lead singer of Rancid. I just remember like having a giant, like, I want to say like floor to ceiling size poster of him jumping in the air with his Gretsch guitar and his Doc Martin boots. And I just, I don't know, I always somehow felt connected to him. And then it must have been 2002. I was, you know, my family and I used to have a store in Harvard Square for watches. And I just remember going, you know, like where I parked my car, I would always walk through this hotel. I would at least have to walk by it, but a lot of times I would walk through it. And I remember one day I'm walking through the hotel and I see Tim and I see his friend and they're just walking on the street. And I think they were behind me. I think I noticed them in the rear corner of my eye. I noticed there were two punks. And then I just remember his friend, Dave at the time, said, "Hey, that's a really nice suit." I was wearing a very nice Paul Smith suit that I had just gotten, I remember. And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then I look right at Tim and I'm like, "What's up, Tim?" And, you know, we're walking and I'm walking to my store and they're walking sort of with me. You know, Tim and I are comparing tattoos like women are comparing handbags. I mean, it was ridiculous. He's like, "No way, you're tattooed. You don't look like you have tattoos." And I think I just had four or five tattoos. Nothing crazy. But he loved my Cramps tattoo. And I was checking out his tattoos. And that was it, really. Like, he's like, "What are you doing here?" I was like, "Oh, my family and I have a store right in the middle of the square." And he was like, "Oh, okay." Then I want to say 2005, a few years later, walking through the same hotel to get to my car, and Tim's there, and he remembers me. And I'm like, holy shit, like, this guy meets thousands of people, and he's got fans everywhere, he's an icon, he's a legend, he's a celebrity, he's a public figure, and he remembered my name, and I was like, wow. And I was like, "Tim, it's so good to see you. You know, you and your band Rancid are playing two sold out shows at Avalon, and I can't get tickets." He's like, "Well, we'll change that." So he calls whoever he's supposed to call to get tickets, and he's like, "Yes, you're all set up. You and a friend in the VIP section," which was not very punk rock, but in any event, super kind of him, super nice of him to do that for me. And he's like, "Do you want my number?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course I want your number, you know?" So we started a texting bromance kind of immediately almost. I was sitting with a friend of mine. I remember the next day we were having lunch. She was like very high up in terms of Harvard faculty. She was incredibly like powerful, and she took me to this lunch area in Harvard University that's only for faculty. We had a really grandiose lunch, and the entire time I'm telling my friend about this, about Tim Armstrong, and she's just like, oh my God, you sound like a teenage girl talking about her first high school crush. I'm like, I know. I can't believe that I'm friends with him. I can't believe we're texting each other. And I'm texting Tim all the way, like during lunch with my friend. I'm looking at my phone every few minutes. Like, it really felt like a bromance, man. It was like one of those things. And it was very, very, very random, but very cool. And I just remember Tim saying on text, hey, we want to come by your store. And I'm like, okay. And I literally like left lunch, left my friend, and the whole band came in. Actually, it was not the whole band. It was just Tim and Lars Fredriksson, who's a guitarist and vocalist in Rancid. He's like, I would say Tim is the front man, but really Tim does his thing in the background, but Lars is like a hell of a vocalist. And I just remember asking Lars if he had any watches. They loved my store, and I was showing Tim some amazing watches. I was showing him some IWCs, some Panerais, and I was like, Tim, you should really buy a watch. And I sold him an IWC Pilot's Chronograph with a red second hand, and it was perfect for him. Understated, no one would ever know the value of it. And then I went and saw them. I think I saw them play either after they came in the store, or I don't remember when I saw them play, but man, what an experience. What an amazing experience it was to be connected to someone that, you know, I idolized, someone that I had so much respect for, someone I really, really, really like. You know, he was a hero. He was my punk rock hero. I just remember like, this whole thing, I feel like, was like maybe a couple weeks. It felt like weeks and weeks, but it was probably only a couple of days. But I remember I had to go because we were, you know, my family and I, we were like one of the biggest Tag Heuer dealers in the country. I was going to see Tiger Woods play, and Tiger Woods, I would have lunch with Tiger Woods or dinner with Tiger Woods and my father. 2 years in a row, we consecutively did that. And Tiger was super cool to me. He remembered me as well. He was playing. His father just died. He was playing some tournament. And you can't take your phone on the golf course. You have to kind of, they give you a claim check, and or you had to put your phone on silent. I don't remember exactly what it was. But when I checked my messages, it was Tim from Rancid. And he's like, what's up, man? And I think I called him back or something like that. And I said, what's up, Tim? I'm really sorry. I was out watching Tiger Woods play, and I couldn't really, you know, answer my phone and blah, blah, blah. And I just remember, you know, like running into him the next day at that same hotel. And he kind of gave me the cold shoulder. He's like, I'm not as popular as Tiger Woods. So I guess, you know, he's kind of giving me shit, which was funny. And then later on in the day, he was like, yo, you know, the band wants to go have some Indian food. Do you know of any places? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. My uncle at the time owned one of the best Indian restaurants, I would say, in the entire country. It was called Bombay Club. It was in Harvard Square. My father's business and my uncle's business were at one time in the same building. So I used to go to Bombay Club as a kid. My cousin now runs it. It's under a different name, but he now has his own restaurant in the suburbs of Boston. And I took the whole band there, like a den mother taking like their, you know, taking her Girl Scout troop. I took the band almost like single file. It was fucking hilarious to Bombay Club. And of course, like most of the, you know, the people working at the restaurant are mostly Indian. So they were kind of freaked out. Like, who are these guys? Are they going to mug us? Are they going to kill us? Or like, they'd never seen guys with tattoos on their face and their arms like that before. They don't, you know, they don't cater to punk rock dudes. In any event, I remember sitting with the band, and, you know, there was like, I was sitting next to Tim Enlars, and Brett Reed was sitting next to me. I don't think I saw Matt Freeman wasn't there. Who's one of the best bassists in the world. I didn't get to meet Matt, but, you know, the whole thing came from my passion for music, my passion for punk rock, my passion for, you know, good music and connecting with people. And I loved that experience. It was incredible. It was amazing. I mean, I'm able to tell you this story. I'm so happy even just regaling and saying it, because it was truly like a moment I'll never forget. And, you know, I haven't seen Tim Armstrong in many, many years. I probably haven't seen him in about, I haven't seen him since then, really. So it's been about 14 years since I've seen Tim. You know, even over the years, even though I hadn't seen him, if I ever needed a t-shirt, a Rancid t-shirt or anything, he would just send it to me. You know, he never charged me for it. He sent a really nice baby doll shirt for my sister in white with a, you know, with the Rancid skull and crossbones on it. Just a hell of a sweet guy. And I can't believe I got to spend the kind of time with him that I did. And what made it even cooler for me is that I got to sell him a watch. To me, that's probably the most, you know, and I sell watches up to $500,000. And I, you know, believe me, I'm grateful for all the sales I make, no matter how big or how small. But that was probably the most, even more so than selling President Clinton a watch, because it really, really, really meant something to me. You don't see punk rockers buying luxury watches, especially then. Like, that kind of, like, defies the entire attitude, style, vibe of being a punk rocker. You don't wear expensive watches, even if you're a fucking millionaire like Tim. And so for me to sell him something, A, a luxury watch, and B, a watch that I picked out for him, that was so fucking cool. And even if he doesn't wear it, I'm sure he'll remember it, because that was his first real nice luxury watch. It was so fun meeting the band. It was so cool hanging out with them. I remember even, like, I was with a couple of my friends that week that I was, that Tim was there, and, you know, he was staying at the hotel that I would go to a lot. He loved that hotel. He actually stayed there every time he was in Boston. That's where he would stay, in Harvard Square. I remember telling my friends, I'm sitting outside at one of the bars at that hotel, and I hadn't seen Tim that day. And I see Tim coming around, and I'm telling my friends a story about Tim. And I'm like, Tim! And he comes by, and he sits at the wrong table. He thought I was sitting at another table. And he starts, and these people were like, oh my God, it's Tim Armstrong. And I just remember, I was like, no, Tim, this table. And he sat with us for a good hour. And it was amazing. It was just like, I felt like we were friends for years and years and years. Like, I wasn't nervous. You know, we were talking about the band, we were talking about music, and I don't think Tim at that time was drinking, you know. I think he was pretty, you know, he was pretty dry. Like, for him, his salvation is music. You can tell just from the way he talks, the way he talks about it, you know, the way he looks. I don't know if he had a guitar in his hand. He may have, but he, I remember he sat with us for about an hour, which was fucking nice of him. He didn't have to do that. He was like, yo, he's like, I'm gonna go, can I get a Coca-Cola? I was like, of course. And so we got him a Coke, and he went upstairs. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go play some guitar. I'll see you later. And that was basically, I think, the last time I ever saw Tim. But I just wanted to share this story with you, that, like, pay attention to your dreams and pay attention to how you feel, you know? That's really important, because you never know in life. Like, I manifested meeting Tim Armstrong. I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction and you know, manifesting your desire, deliberately creating my reality through my intentions, through my thoughts, through my feelings. And I've done that many times, and it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty fun to see how it all unfolds. But honestly, I didn't expect to meet Tim Armstrong. I did when I asked, you know, with the right intentions. You know, it'd be great to meet Tim one day and be friends with him. But all these things of just even having someone, a poster on the wall. And, you know, I remember, like, even in college, up until I'd say you know, I've always kind of been my own person. I've always been, you know, in my own world. I've always been surrounded by tons of people, but I've never been that kind of person that, you know, is in a group of people and hangs out in a group of people consistently. I've always kind of been a loner. So to me, you know, I would practice for hours in my room. I remember singing Rancid songs and singing like Lars, you know. The fact that I met them made it even, and hung out with them and became friends with them, made it even sweeter. And what I like most is that they were both, the whole band, incredibly nice, really down to earth, and just really good human beings. And it's something that, It's probably my best memory, professionally and personally. I don't think there's anything really till today that's topped that experience. And I wanted to share it with you, and I hope that you enjoyed it, because it was really fun for me to tell you this story. And, you know, I would love to work with you guys. Any of you out there who I haven't worked with before, do charge $150 consultation fee to get started. That gets you an hour of my time, a couple of calls, and then if you decide to purchase a watch from me after, I will deduct the $150 you paid from the final purchase price of the watch. Check out my website at www.amitdevhonda.com, where you can read my world-renowned blog, you can listen to a podcast, you can watch a video. You can check out my pre-owned section for watches, which is called Amit's Corner Shop. You can check out Kingsley 1945 Watches, which is a brand I distribute and I'm very proud of. Till next time, rock on, fly back, and stay happy.